This Rabbi Yaakov Wolbe podcast is sponsored by Fabuloso Household Care
Rabbi
Cleaner.
Pastor, fill your home with joy. No ads on my podcast.
This podcast is brought to you by Tyson's Face Tats.
No
Have
ads.
You ever wanted to look
No sponsorships. Average Rabbi, please.
Bill and Anthony's Daily Multivax. Order your 6-month supply
Pastor,
with promo code TORCH for 10%
average
off.
Average Rabbi, no ads, no sponsorships, no promo codes.
But this is how we make money.
This is not how we make money. This is not how we make money. I will not subject my podcast listeners, the listeners that I love, the listeners that want to come hear Torah and hear words of wisdom and learn about their heritage and learn about Jewish history and learn about Jewish values and connect themselves with the Almighty and connect themselves with His Torah and deepen their bond with their soul. I'm not going to have readouts. Rabbi Basco, my dear colleague, I'm not going to do it.
Rabbi, we have bills to pay.
So what's the other option? Is there anything else we could do?
We need help.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe we do something else. You see, most podcasts, they have to pay their bills and they have ads and they have readouts and they have promo codes and they have Dollar Shave Club and Geico and mattresses. I don't want to sell you mattresses. I want to give you what you come for. I want to give you Torah. I want to give you wisdom from the Almighty. I want to give you a connection with our glorious religion and glorious heritage. But we need to pay our bills. So what we do is that we don't do any ads. No ads. No matter how much the average rabbi, my colleague, Rabbi Busco, insists on doing ads, insists on doing these promo codes, none of that. We do an annual fundraiser, and that's happening right now. And the website for that is givetorch.org. Give, the word give, to give. Give your heart. Give your soul. Give a little boost, a little bit of love to Torch. GiveTorch.org. It's happening right now. Every donation is doubled. This is our only annual fundraiser. We do this once a year. Until next year, you're not going to hear about this. It's happening now. If you're hearing this right now, you should know that it's still active. Every donation is doubled. And yes, Rabbi Busco, he's insistent. He's insistent. Are you insistent?
Well,
if there's a better solution.
A little bit. I do like the multivax.
Yeah, okay. Maybe we'll make a little exception for that. But no ads. That's the plan. We've done now podcasts since 2012. 12 years. And we're committed to this. We're committed to connecting Jews and Judaism locally in Houston and globally throughout our podcast and the many other digital offerings that we have here at Torch. We do one fundraiser a year and we want your support. Visit givetorch.org. Right now, press pause on the podcast. Press pause. Stop the podcast. GiveTorch.org. Make a donation. And then, you know, for the rest of the year, you are partnering with us. We're not going to bombard you with ads. We're not going to bombard you with fundraising emails every day, every week, every month. Once a year, we try to get everyone to give, everyone to contribute. If you appreciate our work, if you enjoy our work, if you want to support our work, if you want to support the great rabbis here at the Torch Center, Rabbi Busco, the average rabbi, and everyone else that's over here, and all the incredible work that we do here from the Torch Center, Houston, Texas, visit givetorch.org right now and make a donation. Show us some love. We're not gonna drive you crazy. Make the donation. Of course, my email address is rabbiwolbe@gmail.com, and that website again, givetorch.org. We're up to Mishnah number 6 of chapter number 6 of Pirkei Avos, of the chapters of our fathers. These are the famed 48 ways to wisdom. If our sages, the exemplars of wisdom, if they tell us that there are 48 distinct paths towards wisdom, and specifically towards Torah wisdom, we should take their words very carefully. These are the experts. And if they devise for us, if they outline, if they delineate for us 48 ways to achieve wisdom, then these are a comprehensive roadmap for us to follow if we are desirous, if we covet, if we sincerely yearn to be wise ourselves. And way to wisdom number 30, it's the delineation of the 48. It's not done by number. So the way I understand it is that it says ahuv, which means to be loved, but that's really an introduction to the next 5 ways. Ohev es hamakom, someone who loves God. someone who loves humanity, someone who loves justice, someone who loves righteousness, and someone who loves rebuke and castigation. So it's like the introduction is to the concept of love, and there are five different elements of love, of loving themes, loving God, loving humanity, loving justice, loving righteousness, and loving rebuke. Each one of these is a portal through which we can achieve wisdom. Now, in general, the whole idea of being loved, of being beloved, that doesn't automatically in our heads translate to being wise. We may even think, well, if someone's so beloved, maybe they're focusing on the wrong thing. They should be more studious. They should be more bookish. Why are they being beloved? Why is that somehow conducive towards pursuit of Torah wisdom? So the sages tell us that an indication of someone's perception, so to speak, in God's eyes, is their perception in the eyes of others. If you see someone who is beloved by people, you can infer from that that they are also beloved by God. If you see someone that just exudes beauty, they're just a beautiful person, and everyone loves them because they're just so righteous and so just and so upstanding. We don't know what God thinks about anyone, but we know that this person who's beloved by people, they will also be beloved by God. And thus, if someone's trying to unlock divine wisdom, if someone wants to understand Torah, if someone wants to understand, so to speak, the mind of Hashem, the way to approach that form of wisdom, it might not be the same as the way to approach other disciplines of wisdom. If you want God to impart His wisdom upon you, you want to make sure that you are in His good graces. If God loves you, He may give you His secrets. If God does not love you, it's very unlikely that you will be a recipient of His wisdom. So the first idea over here is that if someone's beloved by humans, they will be beloved by God. And as a result of that, God will be more willing, so to speak, to dispense to them His wisdom. Of course, to acquire any wisdom, you need to have hard work and determination and diligence and grit and focus. You have to invest time in it. That is true for all wisdoms. But when it comes to wisdom of God, He will dispense it to those that He loves. The verse tells us in Proverbs, "Sod Hashem li yireyav." God's secret He will give to those who fear Him. The relationship that a person has with God, that will be a determinant of how much divine wisdom is showered upon them. And if someone's beloved by people, that means they're beloved by God. And therefore, that is a way for them to be a better receptacle for divine wisdom. So normally we would not think, oh, you want wisdom? Make sure that you ingratiate yourself. Make sure that you are beloved by people, and then you'll be beloved by God. That would only apply in Torah wisdom, because Torah wisdom is the wisdom of God. And God only gives said wisdom to those whom He loves, and He loves those who are beloved by others. There's another idea. How does someone become beloved by people? If you think about a person who wants to achieve wisdom, what's the best way to do it? You go to the library. You go find a quiet place and you plunge yourself into the books. into studying. Maybe you should be alone in a study by yourself. Remove yourself. Withdraw yourself from this petty world. Become monastic. And solely immerse yourself in wisdom. That's what we may think that's the best way to do it. But here we find out that if someone's beloved by people, then they will be a worthy recipient of Torah. This teaches us that the best way to acquire Torah is not necessarily to withdraw from the world. For one, Torah is supposed to be suffused throughout a person. Maybe the most important principle of divine wisdom is that it must not remain relegated to a person's intellect. If a person has wisdom in their head but not in their body, that is the quality of Esav, not of Jacob. The tefillin on the head and the tefillin opposite the heart are there to symbolize that the relationship with Hashem and his wisdom must not remain on the head alone, must not be theoretical or abstract. It must permeate the entirety of a person's essence all the way to their emotions. So the idea of just studying Torah on an intellectual realm, that is not the way of Torah study. But more specifically, there is a refrain that is featured all over our literature. Lo nitna Torah l'malachi hashareis. Torah was not given to the ministering angels. God gave Torah to us, to fallible, fragile, mistake-prone humans. The angels may have argued that, well, such a holy Torah, you're giving it to lowly, fragile, mortal, fallible humans. It's a mismatch. There's no way that divine, eternal Torah, the blueprint of the world, should be given to humans, to lowly, mortal, fallible humans. But no, the Torah was not given to the angels, it was given to us. And thus, the more we connect with our humanity, the more we are a worthy recipient of Torah. If a person tries to live like a robot or like an angel, if a person tries to divest themselves of their humanity, they're actually becoming a less likely candidate for Torah. Humanity, we have the ability to transcend angels. Why? Because that is the secret of humanity. That is the answer to the riddle of humanity. That is the dynamism that is essential to being a human. And if a person simply says, I'm a soul, I'm an angel, I'm a robot, let me engage on that level exclusively, they're actually leaving their humanity on the table, and they're actually distancing themselves from Torah. So, of course, that doesn't mean to live as a body. The physicality is only part of the human experience. The merging of the physicality and the spiritual, the fusion of body and soul, the ability of having an interplay between body and soul where the soul can uplift and infuse the body with holiness, that is humanity. And that's our secret. And that's the leg up that we have over the angels. And in that paradigm, we were given Torah, and through that paradigm, we can continue our acquisition of Torah. The tabernacle, the centerpiece, the inner sanctums of the tabernacle was the ark. In the ark was the Torah, the tablets, the broken tablets,
The second set of tablets, the Torah scroll that Moshe wrote, the ark is symbolic of Torah. And what's it made out of? Well, it's made out of gold. But the truth is, it's not solid gold. There's a gold outer box. There's a gold inner box. But between that, there's a wooden box. So it's wood, and then there's gold plated on either side, inside and outside. Wouldn't it be more appropriate to just have a gold box for the Torah? That's the Maharal's question. And he says something unbelievable. He says, gold? Well, it's worth a lot more than wood. But wood has something that gold does not have. Wood grows. It develops. It changes. It is dynamic. Gold is great. It's very valuable, very precious, very shiny. But it is static. It is inanimate. And if something is going to be a receptacle of Torah, it must have some wood element to it. It must have the dynamism of growth, of change. A human, that is the proper receptacle for Torah. And what's a human? There's gold there. There's something angelic there. But there's also that dynamism, that spirit of change that is symbolized by the wood. And only that together and immersed in each other, where the gold and the wood are mixed together, that is the proper receptacle of Torah. And therefore, when we come to Torah, we don't try to divest ourselves, divorce ourselves from our humanity. Quite the contrary. It's to engage in the humanity. It's to elevate the humanity. And part of that means to be beloved. It means to live as a human, as part of a society. And to not be that monastic person who divorces themselves from this world. We don't believe that holiness necessarily means abstinence. We don't believe that the highest level of holiness is living a monastic life. If you have a high priest who is unmarried, they're not a candidate for the high priesthood. There's one opinion in the Mishnah that says that actually a high priest has to have a backup wife in case his first wife dies. There should be a second wife that he can marry to make sure that there's never a moment that he's alone without a spouse, because then he is disqualified as a high priest. This idea that the holiest person is just some old guy with a nice big white yarmulke who's never been married, that's not a Jewish idea. We don't believe that holiness is divorcing yourself from your humanity. And a side note, it doesn't actually work out, as we know. The Talmud tells us that if someone is alone without a wife, it gives a whole long list of things that they're missing. Talmud says they have no joy, they have no blessing, they have no goodness, they have no Torah. They have no supportive walls holding themselves up. The idea of living as some sort of angel, that is not a concept that we embrace. In fact, we reject it completely. And we even say, to receive Torah, to be a receptacle of Torah, you must be beloved. So this is really an introduction to the upcoming, the details of what does it mean. It means beloved, to be beloved by other people. But as we shall see, there are a lot of other areas where the term love is applied in the upcoming ways to wisdom. So this is 30, but really, I'm not sure if it's 30 or if it's the introduction to 30, 31, 32, etc. way of upcoming someone who loves God. To love God, that is a way to achieve wisdom. So if God loves you, of course, he'll give you wisdom. But if you love God as well, that too is a way to achieve wisdom. Someone who loves humanity, to love other people, that's a way to achieve wisdom. Someone who loves justice, someone who loves righteousness, and someone who loves rebuke, criticism. Can you imagine that there's such a thing? To love criticism? Well, yeah. If you want to improve, you should listen very carefully when someone is giving you a tip that may help you improve. Our instinct pushes away. We repel that because maybe our self-esteem is a bit fragile. Because we don't want to change, because change is painful, because coming to terms, coming to grips with your own lack of perfection is so painful. But if you love criticism, not just tolerate it, love it, well then, you have a way to achieve wisdom that others don't. So if you have any criticism, the email address is rabbiwolbe@gmail.com. I look forward to your criticism and your comments and your questions and your feedback.